Live from Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. Homegrown, independent journalism in Illinois is an endangered species. Just weeks ago, the Ford County Record stopped printing. The newspaper was founded in 1865, the same year the Civil War ended. And yesterday on the program, we talked about how fewer than 10 companies operate most TV newsrooms and newspapers around Illinois. As we continue asking who's in charge of the news this week, we begin today with the Local Journalism Task Force, approved overwhelmingly by the General Assembly and signed into law by Governor J.B. Pritzker late this summer. To talk about who's on the task force, what their goals are, and if it will indeed save local independent journalism, we're joined by the legislation's lead sponsor, State Senator Steve Stottleman. He's a Democrat from Caledonia near Rockford, where he was also once a TV news anchor. Senator Stottleman, welcome to the 21st.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Also joining us, State Representative Dave Vella. He's also a Democrat from Rockford and was a co-sponsor of the task force. Representative Vella, thank you for being here as well.
Thank you for having me.
And on the line from WNIJ in DeKalb is Jenna Dooley. She's news director at our partner station there, Northern Public Radio. And she's also current president of the Illinois News Broadcasters Association. Welcome back, Jenna.
Thanks for having me.
And finally, we are joined by Nikki Usher. She's a journalism professor at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign, also the author of a new book, News for the Rich, White, and Blue, How Place and Power Distort American Journalism. We'll be talking a lot more about the book later in the hour, but for now, she's going to talk with us about representing J schools on the task force. Hello, Nikki.
Thanks for having me. Great to see you.
Listeners, as ever, you're welcome to join our conversation. 800-222-9455 is the number. Are you worried about local journalism in your part of Illinois? Is something good happening there that might be scaled up statewide? Again, 800-222-9455. Senator Stottleman, I'm going to begin with you. As I mentioned, before becoming a state senator, you were a TV news anchor and reporter in Rockford. Why this task force?
Well, I've seen both sides of this issue as a reporter, now as a state senator. And so I think, as we all seen, those who follow journalism are interested in the past 15 years or so, more than 2,000 newspapers around the country have closed, especially in rural areas. That means no reporters covering local city council or school board meetings. And if people don't get the information they need to know what's going on in their town, I don't think they can make educated decisions when they vote and hold their public officials accountable, because after all, I think journalists play an important watchdog role in our system.
Representative Vella, what about you? What drew you to the idea of this task force? I understand you told one of our producers you're very concerned about the state of local news.
I am. I grew up in the Rockford area. We have had very robust news there, three local stations and a newspaper. Now we have two. But as local news funding has gone down, I have noticed lack of participation by the people in the area in local government, more focused on federal. And, you know, if you track the numbers, it looks like voting numbers have declined. And I would say, at least in part, that is because local news has declined.
I want to mention a member of our texting group sent us a message, said they listen to WUIS and WILL, thank you, all the time for local news. They went on to say, quote, "I am disappointed that Jacksonville doesn't get much coverage. We have a local newspaper, but it doesn't have that many reporters," end quote. Thank you for that message. Senator Stottleman, what are some of the solutions you would like to look into? Are there ideas that have worked in other states that might be applicable here?
Well, certainly, we formed the task force to begin the discussion, not coming into this with any preconceived notions. But I think there are several areas that could be looked at and other states have considered. Potential solutions include creating a fund to bring news and information to underserved communities, providing tax incentives to persuade media outlets to close those local news gaps, and maybe more money for public broadcasting. But as I said, I don't have any preconceived notion. There may be no role for state government, the task force may find out. We're finding that the private sector is developing new business models. You see nonprofit news websites supported by philanthropic foundations. And there have been partnerships with nonprofit groups that allow, you know, traditional news organizations to dig deeper and undertake investigations. So it could be all of the above. It could be none of the above. I just want to begin that important discussion that we have to have on the future of local journalism.
Jenna Dooley, you're, as I mentioned earlier, the news director at Northern Public Radio, president of an organization that represents TV and radio reporters in Illinois. What do you plan to share with lawmakers and others on the task force about the state of journalism in Illinois from your perspective?
In practice, you know, there are journalists I know who they'll work the morning shift, then they turn around to cover late night school board meetings because the work needs to be done. And there might only be one or two reporters at their station. The news doesn't take a day off. Turnover is high. It's long hours. It's working holidays. And it can be a misunderstood profession. A lot of times, microphones are there on someone's best or worst day. I do see a change. There's an increase in engagement reporting to try to get microphones in front of people on their everyday to better reflect how policies that happen at the state house or at local city councils, county boards, school boards, how they affect people in their day in and day out lives. It has been like running a marathon at a sprinting pace because of the pandemic. It's always been a taxing job. It's been made even more difficult. A lot of times in TV, it's a 2-year contract. It's a young reporter who has to leave home to take their first job, so it can be very isolating. And so the news broadcasters exist to be a not only a pipeline for new talent, but to support people when we start to feel exhausted, to share stories. And also, I find that reporters are lifelong learners, so we are a professional development organization to learn best practices from each other, things like solutions journalism and engagement journalism. I think the 21st is a really great example of engagement journalism. The text line, we're seeing new ways to reach audiences, like I said, on their everyday instead of when there's, you know, just breaking news.
You mentioned 2-year contracts for TV stations. It reminds me of something I once heard. I hope this is outdated by inflation, but, you know, the conglomerations that own newspapers and TV, they have this rule of 22. They want to hire people who are 22 years old, will work for $22,000 a year, and will start looking for a new job after 22 months. Nikki Usher, let me talk to you. As a member of the Department of Journalism at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign, educating young minds as well as researching the field of journalism, what perspective do you hope to bring to this task force?
Well, so there's the self-interested aspect in hoping my students go on to get jobs, but also go on to be really important members of the state as part of fabrics of local communities. So there's that side of it. But as a researcher, one of the things that me and my team can bring is a systematic analysis of what's happening across the state, as well as an in-depth analysis of what's specific to local communities. So we can get sort of a more structured, rigorous sort of, you know, here's the information that legislators need to start thinking about how to move things forward.
Yeah. What happens when Facebook replaces the local press as the bulletin board of a town, for example? We're going to talk a lot more about some of those ideas later, though. But for now, let me remind listeners, if you're just tuning in, this is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're talking about the new State Journalism Task Force signed into law by Governor Pritzker a few months ago and asking whether this is the thing to save local independent journalism, especially in downstate Illinois. We're joined by two of the law's sponsors, primary sponsor State Senator Steve Stottleman, co-sponsor Representative Dave Vella, both of the Rockford area, also Illinois News Broadcasters Association President Jenna Dooley, and Nikki Usher, journalism professor at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. If you are concerned about local journalism in your part of Illinois, or if you have a question for one of the members of the task force, call us now, 800-222-9455, 800-222-9455. Jenna, let me come back to you. According to national surveys, public radio and television news outlets are among the most trusted news sources in America. All public stations are locally owned and operated, and yet most of us have newsrooms with, if we're lucky, 5 people, maybe 10 people. That's probably a third of local TV news operations. How does that affect the news ecosystem to not have bigger newspapers, other locally owned media to compete with us?
It means fewer perspectives from the people who have the most to win or lose by a local decision. I think there's always going to be a value in a journalist following up and asking, what does this mean? Why should people care? And then getting that information to the audience. Without that, you'll just have press releases that they're called rip and reads, when news copy comes from an outside source like a wire service or press release, and it's read on air without adding that additional research and reporting. And when outlets are strapped to that point, I think you leave out the creativity. You're just keeping your head barely above water. Instead of thinking bigger, instead of thinking more creatively about what haven't we been telling? What's a new way we can tell this story? And I think you lose some of that innovation when stations are so short-staffed that they're just exhausted at the end of the day, instead of having that blue sky phase.
Representative Vella, I am a former State House reporter, although I think I left before you came to the State House. I can say not all lawmakers enjoy taking questions from reporters, but you mentioned to one of our producers that you actually want to be questioned. How so?
Well, you know, I have my views, but I learn not only from, you know, other legislators, but when I'm questioned about my views, it gives me, you know, a chance to think. And also it gives my constituents a chance to understand who I am. It's frustrating when I run into media who just accepts what I say and prints it. I mean, I know a lot of people do like that. I would rather have somebody have a conversation with me, because I think they will understand my views and understand why I'm doing things. And I think that makes a more informed electorate.
Nikki, in addition to being a professor and an author, you've spent time studying rural communities in Illinois. Can you talk about how the decline in small businesses and changes in rural culture tie into the decline in independent journalism we've seen downstate?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the story of small town America and the story of local community newspapers have to be taken together. So when you see big banks move in over the small community-owned bank, grocery stores get part of conglomerations, right now, a lot of those mom and pop shops are really struggling in the wake of COVID, and you know, things are just easier to get when they're one click away. So all of that eats away at the possible advertising revenue, right? As towns contract, right, there are fewer people who will subscribe to a newspaper, and there are just fewer stores and community places that support local institutions like a newspaper. So I think that small town America decline needs to be part of the conversation, because if we can boost up small town America, we can boost up the local news and democratic environment.
Senator Stottleman, as we were just hearing there, small town America, right? It's had a challenging business climate. You have the local, let's just take grocery stores. The IGA is replaced by the Walmart. Maybe 10, 20 years later, the Walmart's replaced by the Dollar General. When you no longer have mom and pop grocery stores and other businesses in a community, they've been forced out by Walmarts and Amazons. Where does the money come from to support that local independent community journalism?
Well, that's an excellent point. You know, there's an economic argument to be made here. Newspapers, especially in smaller communities, have historically connected local businesses with readers. And without that connection, the local economy and businesses are hurt, and that makes funding for newsroom operations even more difficult. Obviously, the business has become much more consolidated over the years. It's not dependent on a specific local economy. But to your point, it goes to the overall economic foundation of a community or a state to support the local economy, and which allows local journalists to operate. So I agree. It goes to the fundamental functioning of a community, especially in rural areas, that wanted to get the news, and just there's an economic argument. This is bad for business as well.
Representative Vella, when does the task force begin its work? What's the timeline?
Well, myself and Senator Stallman are still talking about that. I don't think we have a specific time yet. To go back to the previous question, I did have something to say about that.
Sure.
As you do research into especially local media in the Rockford area and around, there's been a lot of media consolidation, obviously. When I was young, the newspaper was owned by a local family, and so were a lot of the TV stations. That's not the case anymore. I'm a firm believer that local news can be profitable if the perspective is there. But it's not as profitable on a bigger scale. So that if a media comes in or a media company comes in and consolidates, it's easier for them to have the same story across many different platforms. Whereas if it's somebody comes in and does a good job, which we have some people doing that in Rockford, a good job of focusing on local news, I still think that's a profitable business model.
All right. Well, we are going to continue to follow the work of this task force. I want to thank our guests, State Senator Steve Stottleman, Representative Dave Vella of the Rockford area, and Northern Public Radio News Director Jenna Dooley. Senator, Representative Jenna, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
Thank you for your interest.
Thank you very much.
Nikki Usher is going to stick around. We'll be talking about her book after the break. It's called News for the Rich, White, and Blue. Stay with us.
The 21st is made possible in part by Busey. For 150 years, Busey has helped business owners and entrepreneurs navigate financial decisions, achieve long-term goals, and realize dreams of success. Busey, fulfilling dreams since 1868.